everything deteriorating, and the Bible says, and we know that the whole world lieth in wickedness, it's on a downward slide. It's still, God's still on the throne. And it is his world, and he's going to let it play out the way he chooses. So nothing's caught the Lord by surprise. Praise the Lord for that. Amen? Amen. But then we sang a little earlier, this world is not my home, because he's going to take us out of here. Amen? And we're going to be with the Lord. And for both of those, that hymn and that special, what a blessing. Amen. All right. Well, it is good to be with you this morning. How many of you had a great Thanksgiving? Amen. All right. Amen. How many of you ate too much? All right, for the rest of you that didn't raise your hand, you are lying, and you need to face reality, and you need to be here at the altar at the end of the message for the sin of lying, okay? Because that's the one day, all right? We know you've eaten too much. All right, well, it's great to have, it's great to be here. It's always great to be in church. It is always a blessing. And it is great to be around you folks, and I mean that. I really love you folks, and it's great to have some visitors here with us as we've acknowledged, again, Ruth, and again, Nathan back for another week. That's great. Tyler's not here. I didn't see Tyler. I had a chance to talk to him this week just a few days ago, or it might have been yesterday. Yeah, say hi to Tyler. I don't see him, right? He's not here? Okay, well, tell him I said hi. I had a good conversation with him on the phone. And then Cecilia, it's just great to have Cecilia back. Of course, Dee, you know, we saw her the last couple weeks. Cecilia, it is good. I'm glad you're feeling better, and it's great to have you here. Amen. All right, listen, I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We read some verses earlier about how God is our strength, and I'm going to bring a message today that's entitled, When I Am Weak, Then Am I Strong. So we know where we're going. If you know this passage of Scripture, we're going to go into chapter 12, and that's where we're going to really spend most of the time. But I want to start off in chapter 11. Now, the Apostle Paul is the author of this book. Obviously, it's the Spirit of God who inspired him to write these words. But in chapter 10 through the rest of the epistle, and it goes through chapter 13 in 2 Corinthians, he's changed his tone toward those in the church as far as the attitude that they have toward him. It's always been a fickle group of Christians. You know, he spoke earlier in the first epistle that he wrote. Now, both of these epistles were more than likely written during the third missionary journey, all right? And they're probably about a year apart, roughly, but that doesn't make a whole big, you know, big difference. But that's about what we're looking at here. And this group of believers, as he said to them earlier, that they were a carnal bunch. They were babes in Christ, and he couldn't speak unto them as unto spiritual. They weren't spiritually minded. They had their minds on the things of this world. They had come to know Christ, but they hadn't grown a whole lot. And that's why there were a lot of problems in the church. That's why there were a lot of schisms. That's why there were a lot of divisions that were taking place. So they had an attitude toward the Apostle Paul. Maybe not every single one of them, but as a whole, yes, they did. There were those who felt that Paul was unqualified to be an apostle. He had to address that in these epistles. Some felt that he was overbearing, and we could go to passages about that, but I won't, just for sake of time. And some thought he was a proud individual. So he was getting kind of slammed by a group of believers that he loved. He loved them. Now, the Apostle Paul was a sinner saved by God's grace, just as we all are. Amen? But he looked at himself as being the chiefest of sinners. That's probably how we should all look at ourselves. We're just a bunch of sinners, and what do we deserve? We deserve to be in hell. We deserve to be going to hell, but praise God, by his grace, we're not, if you're saved here today. And what a great thing. So they had some things about him, yet he loved them. He was willing to spend and be spent for them. You know, willing to spend, that means he was willing to invest and give what he had. But when he says, I'm also willing to be spent for you, you know what he's saying? I'm willing to give my life for you. I love you that much. And he cared about them. They thought, some of the others thought he was fickle and he was dishonest. So he was getting it from a wide range of allegations and charges. And so in this passage right here, it looks like he's pretty much speaking to these individuals, these particular individuals. And so the Apostle Paul, he's led by the Spirit of God. He has these emotions. He's human. He's dealing with, You ever deal with anybody that you love them to death, but they're fickle and they're frustrating? And some of you say, yeah, I look at him every day in the mirror, right? Yeah, we all deal with people that can frustrate us and that are difficult, but we love them. And that's where Paul was. The Apostle Paul had become much like the Lord Jesus. He had yielded himself to the Lord, and he walked with the Lord. He was not perfect. As I said, he is a sinner saved by God's grace, but boy, he loved the Lord. And because he had a love for Christ and had just yielded his life and his body to Christ, he had the love of Christ for these converts, every one of them. Those that were doing well, like in the church at Philippi, those that were doing well, like in the converts out of Thessalonica, those Thessalonian believers, but even the ones that weren't doing so great, the Galatian Christians, and also the church at Corinth. So there were where they struggled. But he, being led by the Spirit of God, puts forth a list of things that he puts forth as boasting, all right? It's termed as boasting because from chapter 10 to verse 13, he uses it seven times. He uses the word boast, and he uses the word boasting about some things that he needed to bring forth. Yet, what it was all in an attempt to win them over to Christ because he cared about them and he loved them. And I'll just say this, boasting that he brings forth, it was not a boasting with the motive of, exalting self. It wasn't that kind of boasting. His was had a good motive, but he had to bring out some things that he normally would not have brought out. So we'll see it in this chapter, and it kind of takes us and sets us, sets a premise here. It sets a foundation for what he's going to bring forth and what we're going to see in chapter 12. So let's take a little journey here through chapter 11, and I'll read all the way from verses 16 through 33, which is at the end of the chapter. And then we're going to go into just a few points, and I hope that the Lord will use this today, but let's go ahead and read this first, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Verse 16, it says this, and I could be reading it from even back in chapter 10, but I'm just starting at 16 because that's already a long passage of Scripture. So he says this, "I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool, receive me, that I may boast myself a little." Okay, so he's saying, I'm going to have to do some boasting here. And he says, "That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting." And then he says this, "Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer, you're approving, you're allowing fools gladly," because that's where they were. He says, "For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise." You sense a little sarcasm there? And the Spirit of God said, no, write that down. And Paul he's got some emotions going. When you read in the book of Galatians, boy, it's full of a lot of charged up emotions that the Apostle Paul has. "Oh, ye foolish Galatians." Well, Paul is allowed to have these emotions, and the Spirit of the Lord says, I will weave that into the inspired word. God is so amazing that when you look at this, you see the author, you see his personality, you see his struggles, and yet it's the Word of God. But he uses human experiences and human emotions with all of this. So he says, "You're wise." And that's what they thought they were. You know, he's speaking to Corinth, Greece. And you know where Greece was? I mean, they exalted education and knowledge. And, that's where a lot of the philosophers were from, in Athens. So he says in verse 20, For ye suffer, if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. He says, "I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak, howbeit, wherein soever any is bold," and then he says, "I speak foolishly, I am bold also." Anybody that says they're bold, I'm speaking foolishly, but I'm going to say this, I'm bold as well. And then he says, "Are they Hebrews? Well, so am I." Because see, they had this thing about they were pitting other people against Paul. "Oh, they're this. Oh, Paul, they have that, and you don't have..." He's saying, listen, you know, you're propping them up and they're saying they're Hebrew. Well, so am I. Can you just hear this right now? He's saying, so am I. He says, are they Israelites? So am I. Are they of the seed of Abraham? So am I. And he says, are they ministers of Christ? He says, here I am. I'm speaking as a fool again. I am more. I'm even beyond that. And he says, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure. And he goes on this resume here. He says, in prisons more frequent. I've been in prison more than a lot of these guys you're talking about. In deaths oft. I've had to face death a number of times. Now, I'm going to stop again and say that I know he didn't want to go down this road. And he didn't want to have to bring these things out. But he was kind of forced into a corner here. And as he's just a toss to and fro, and it's all stirring around in his head, and his spirit is in a bit of turmoil. The Lord says, write this out. I want this to be written. So then he says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Three times was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, all the things that I have to face daily, and that's the care of all the churches, all of that that would settle in on him every day. I wonder how it's going with the church at Ephesus. I wonder how the church at Thessalonica is doing, and you read about that when you read 1 Thessalonians. And so he had the care of these converts, and many names would come to his mind in their faces. I wonder how they're doing, Lord. Help them. And so he says, the care of all the churches. He says, who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. So Paul is writing all of this, and he's writing it all in response to how they are looking at him. But obviously the Lord approved of it, as I just said, and the Lord led him to write these things. And so we're going to go forth now with about how God in his strength, he needs us to be weak. And we're going to see that here in this next passage of Scripture. So with that, let's go ahead. We'll go before the Lord in prayer, and we'll bring this message before you today. Father, we thank you, and we're grateful for the opportunity to gather together. Again, as it was prayed earlier, we thank you for the freedoms that we have. We thank you that we can gather together. We have religious freedom. There are those who want to take it away. Help us, Lord, to continue to go forth. Help us to take advantage of the opportunities we have, not to be idle, not to be lazy, but help us to be motivated to serve you. Help us to be witnesses. Help us to be a blessing to one another. Help us not to sit back and be comfortable, but spiritually speaking, help us to be faithful warriors and soldiers for Christ. So we thank you for what we have. Lord, we pray for today. Thank you for the time we've had so far. Thank you for the specials we've heard. Thank you for the opportunities we've had to sing unto you. And again, for the opportunity to assemble together. Thank you for those that are visiting. I would pray for anybody here without Christ, Lord, that you'd work in their hearts. We would love to see them come to trust Christ as Savior. But we pray for those of us that know you, and I would think that that's most of us here. And I pray, Father, that you'd work in our hearts. Help us to be able to have ears to hear today. Lord, help us to see what was allowed in Paul's life and what Paul was speaking about. Help us to be able to make application. We look unto you to do that in our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, help us to be drawn closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now we pray that he would be lifted up and exalted. We want the name of Christ to be exalted. And I want myself to be out of the way. I do want that, Lord. I don't want to hinder you today. So I pray for the Spirit of God to do his work in our hearts. And I pray, Father, that it would be, that you'd just be able to address every need that's here today. So we ask that. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So you can see there's like some drama going on here. Not that Paul was a drama guy. He wasn't. I mean, there's just a lot of back and forth. There's a lot of emotion. You read your Bible and there's a whole lot there of that. I think sometimes we read this Bible and it's just so dry and, oh, it just doesn't affect me. Well, you know what? That's our bad. Because if we allow God to work and speak in our hearts, we realize, man, these are people's lives, and look at what's going on here, and there's a lot of emotion, and there's a lot that plays itself out that it's just good to get immersed in this book. And we don't want to try to do that on our own. I mean, yes, we want to take that step, and Lord, I want your word to open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, but I want you to immerse me in this book so I can kind of live in these pages and be with these individuals and actually be there. You know, the Lord can put us there so that we're, you know, we can sense this, what's taking place. And the Lord uses that in a great way to work in our own lives. So I'm going to bring up this first point, and that is that there are things to boast in. Maybe in Paul's case, it's really more to acknowledge, all right? Because his boasting was not of the old nature, really. It wasn't. He had a right motive in all of this. But again, he was painted into a corner, and something needed to be said. You ever found yourself there? It's things that you probably wouldn't necessarily have uttered and said anything, but it's like, all right, I think the story needs to be told here. And sometimes you let out of the bag things that you wouldn't have. And that's where Paul was. He's having to let some things out of the bag, like, Lord, you know I didn't want to have to bring up these things. I did those things out of service for you. I didn't do them so that I could get applause. I didn't do them for any accolades from anybody, but I did them for you, Lord. But I think it's profitable that they come out. I don't know if that's what he said in the Spirit of God, the Lord speaking to him. No, these things need to be said. So just on that alone, that's this point. There are things sometimes to boast in. And there always will be. So we take a look here at these first four verses in chapter 12, where it says, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. And you know, he is speaking about himself. And I truly believe he is. Anybody that makes commentary on this or says anything, they're saying, yeah, this is Paul speaking about himself, but he removes himself. He speaks in the third person. I knew a man in Christ. Well, this is something about what happened to him. And I believe it happened when he was stoned in Lystra. And it says here, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, whether this happened in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Only God knoweth. You know, I like when the Lord looks at Ezekiel, he has a vision of these dry bones, and he says, what seest thou? And, you know, and he asks him more questions, and Ezekiel finally is like, I don't have an answer. Thou knowest, okay? Sometimes I think we just need to say, thou knowest, Lord. I don't know what's going on here, but you know. Maybe you've given me some knowledge, but he's saying here, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. This individual went straight up into heaven, and that was, I believe, the Apostle Paul. And he says, I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. What an amazing thing he experiences. Paul certainly could have boasted in these revelations, all right? Because, you know, wow, how many people does this happen to? He could have written books about it, right? If he was living today, he could have gone on some talk shows. Yeah, I went to heaven, and now I'm back, and I've written some books, and I'm going to have a book signing next week and all of that kind of stuff. You know what? I mean, he could have done all that. Now, listen, we're not called to boast in any fashion or any manner, you know, but Paul is allowed to boast here. But again, it's done in a right way. He framed it in a right way because it was coming out of a heart of he wanted to be a blessing to these people. But most of the people that I've heard, because listen, being saved, all the years I've been saved, I've heard some people make some great, some incredible claims. Interstellar travel. You've been where and back? Pluto and back? Well, I've known Pluto as well. I've been at Disneyland a few times, you know. I mean, people will say goofy things, weird things, you know. Yeah, I died and came back. I've had people tell me some really crazy stuff. Yeah, when my kids, they were just like 2 months old, there was like an aura about both of them. I went, took a couple steps back. That's great. That's great. I'm sure people have talked to you and told you some really weird stuff, right? For the most part, and I don't know, maybe somebody died, went to heaven, and came back. And I know people have written books about that. I don't know. Maybe that happened. But I'm just going to say this. If God has done some amazing things with you, my advice to you is kind of keep it closed and under wraps for the most part, because people are going to look at you and just go, that guy's crazy. Really? I mean, if you start touting off about all of these experiences and that you are up in heaven and you walked around with the Lord and you saw all the saints and some of the, we had a slight, somewhat of a great reunion and now I'm back again. It's like, really? If that really happened to you, how are you going to look at that? You're going to say, I don't know what to make of this. This guy's probably crazy. So I would say kind of for the most part, keep it under wraps. But listen, we have a lot of things that we like to take, that we like to boast about. And when you just talk about boasting, there's a lot of things that we boast about. We boast about things that we can do. I can juggle two balls. Really? Two balls? You're crazy. That's amazing. You know, I once bowled a 112 with my handicap. Wow, that's amazing. Some people are just goofy that way, right? And some people like to boast in their heritage and their lineage, you know. Kiss me, I'm Italiano, right? Or whatever. Amen. I mean, people just, amen, yes. That's a good thing. I went right to the very highest right there. Listen, sometimes we boast about things like that. We boast about our teams, about our football teams. And, you know, it's great to have a football team, but a favorite team. But you know what? I mean, really, how many times does the coach call you and ask you for some strategy or for some counsel or advice? No, they don't, right? Sometimes we boast in our animals and the tricks that they can do. So we like, that's just part of our nature. Not that I'm giving credence to that, I'm not, but that's just a part of the old nature. But what does the Lord say about boasting in and of itself? Well, he says this, Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You don't even know that tomorrow's a guarantee, so don't boast about it. And the Lord says in James chapter 4 and verses 13 through 16, he says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. He says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, this is what you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. All right, so boasting, when it's boasting, is just not something that's pleasing unto the Lord. He says, just don't boast. Because boasting really, as we all know it, it's just to exalt self. Instead, he says in Proverbs 16:19, better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. So God's always pleased when we just humble ourselves and stay away from that. But Paul, again, was somewhat forced into this position of having to open up his resume, and the Lord allowed it. That's what we read in those verses in chapter 11 all the way to the end of that chapter. And it says in Proverbs 26, Paul was given the opportunity to respond back. We know these two passages, they sit right alongside of each other. Verses 4 and 5 of Proverbs 26, where it says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him." But the very next verse says, "Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit." And he says, Paul, verse 5 is what I want you to do right now. You're going to answer back some foolish people. And I'm going to use it. And, you know, we'll see how it played out when we get into eternity, maybe. But now we see Paul taking this, a different approach now in regard to the things that we can boast in. All right? Verses 5 and 6. And it's really somewhat of a pattern for us. But he says here in verses 5 and 6, "Of such an one will I glory." And he's talking about himself in the third person. That guy who went to heaven. "Of such a one," him, not myself, but that guy, "of such a one will I glory." All right, I'll glory in what took place in his life. "Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities." I'm not going to glory in what took place in my life so that he doesn't get exalted, right? Doesn't get lifted up. But I'll glory in this. I'll glory in the infirmities, in the difficulties and the trials and some of the handicaps and the insecurities that I have and my faults. I'm gonna rejoice in those things because God can use those things. That's what he's inferring to, and that's what plays itself out as the passage goes along. For he says in verse 6, "For though I would desire to glory," because Paul has an old nature, he says, "I would love to glory about some of the things that I saw." But he says, "I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear." I'm going to hold my tongue here. And he says, "Lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me." You know, I don't want somebody to look at me like, "Oh man, he's just larger than life, man. He's not even woven out of the same material that I am." No. Paul's just saying, no, I don't want that. I don't want somebody to think that I'm cut from a different piece of cloth. You know, him and Barnabas, when they were in Lystra, man, and they were trying to exalt them, and I think it was in Lystra, because a crippled man got healed, and he said, "Man, we're of like passions like yourself. It's God who did this. Don't look at us like we're gods." And that's what Paul's saying here. I don't want anybody to lift me up. I don't want anybody to put me up on some pedestal. And so Paul is turning the corner on this boasting thing, at least for our sakes, because he'd really already turned the corner. Like I said, his boasting was not full of self and ego. He was having to do this. But for our sakes, he's turning the corner on this boasting thing, and he points out something, that if we're going to be used by the Lord, the boasting thing must go away. And God has just the thing, and it's called a thorn. God has a thorn. You say, "Well, that was for Paul." God has a thorn for everybody of some sorts. And it's not something that we want to hear. But that this second point states this, and that is that there's a desire for usefulness brings forth a thorn. If you and I want to be used by the Lord, there's going to have to be a thorn that's involved somewhere, somehow. I know that doesn't sound pleasant, but it says in verse 7, "Unless I should be exalted," he says, "unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations." Because, again, looking at how Paul was handling him, I thought, he's handling him well. He's not letting it taint his spirit. He's trying to honor the Lord, but yet those revelations and the visions that he received will work itself on somebody over time. So that's why he says, "Because of the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." I was given a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So Paul says, in spite of all that, the Lord, in his goodness, has given me a thorn. Now, Paul struggles with it. We'll see that in just a moment. So this point, this number two point, is the hinge that swings us the direction of point three, when God can really use us, okay? Point three. But we're still in point two. This point is essential, and it's very profound, folks, in God's Word. For you can't have the one without the other. We cannot have our Christianity just be a skate in the park or a nice walk through the woods and then us be really useful in God's hands. It's not going to work that way. We have an old nature that has to be dealt with. And Paul began to know that and to understand it. So, they say a smooth sea never made a good sailor, right? And that phrase certainly applies to us as believers. There's got to be some rough going. God uses trials. He uses difficulties. He uses challenges that are before us to cause us to grow in our faith, to lean upon Him. That's how we grow. That's how we're developed. And God uses it in such a great, great way. So it's a very, very essential and a profound point that God brings forth in His Word. Yet, folks, we're Americans, and you can't tell us that. You can't tell us that. We want our options, and we want a thornless path to God's power. I want the thornless path. You know, because, folks, after all, we drive in cars that have two sets of temperature gauges in them. Right? I mean, you know, you'd say that to somebody in Papua New Guinea, and they're like, what? Yeah, I can have 72, and she's got 68 as we're driving along the road. We have beds with different levels of firmness in them. I mean, again, you go to some remote country, and you say, well, so what level of firmness are you? Or, you know, where's your mattress? They look at you like you were crazy. Right. You're like, I'm a 35, by the way. And it's like, what? Because, we're in America, and we get so many things that we are so blessed, so many creature comforts. We like our comfort, don't we? And everything seems to be getting easier and easier. But we like our comfort, and so we like to say, no thorns for me. If we were ordering off a menu, we would say, I'll have that, but no thorns, please. Leave the thorns out. We would do that, certainly. This wanting to serve God and yet not having thorns is really not an option. And Paul was wishing that it was so, because look what he says in verse 8. It says this in verse 8 about the situation. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. That's three times. And I don't think that there were small little prayers attached to his, bless the Lord, bless this food, Lord, and then, oh, yes, and take this thorn away from me. I think that there were long vigils, maybe middle of the night, Lord. Lord, why don't you take this thing from me? And I think it may have had to do with not being able to see well. He had some blindness there after he got saved. And then he writes certain things that you think, man, it seems like he couldn't see well. And I think that this thorn in the flesh might have been his vision that he couldn't see. And I three times said, Lord, I want to be useful for you, but I feel like I'm not useful. I greet the brethren and I go preach for them, but I can't see them well, Lord. It feels like I can't relate to them well. Would you give me my sight back? Would you help me? This thorn that you've given to me, I think I can relate better to people. And the Lord says, I think I know best. And so he beseeches the Lord thrice that it might depart, he says, from me. Now, some of you might be thinking this, well, I'm just going to skirt around this whole thing and not have to deal with the thorns that way. All right, I think I can get around this thing and not have to deal with thorns. Well, reality says this, folks, that life is just going to give you thorns anyway, okay? Because we're living on a cursed earth. Job chapter 5 and verse 7 says, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Listen, we're already in a troublesome world. And you remember what the Lord told Adam in Genesis chapter 3 and verses 17 and 18. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. So trying to do an end around with God, it's just not going to work. Ask a guy by the name of Jonah that one. Okay? We try to skirt around it. We try to run the different other direction, do an end around on God. It's just not going to work. And so many have tried to do that. But I'm here to tell you that God is an oh-so-merciful God. And He has an oh-so-merciful way of calling us to this. He knows what we can handle. He knows what you can handle. He knows how to dole out just to the exact measure, whatever it is in your life that will help you. He's never going to squash you. He's always doing it for your benefit. And it might be a heavy load, and you go, oh, I can't bear this. But you know that promise that God will never give us more than we can bear. Right. That's a paraphrase, but that's what that verse says, that God is not going to give you more than you can handle. And if we'll just look unto the Lord and trust Him, God is so good in His mercy toward us. He knows what we can handle. He's just seeking to get us out of our comfort zone every now and then. And none of us wants to get out of our comfort zone. We like our comfort zone. How many of you like your comfort zones? Yeah. We like our comfort zones because they're comfortable, right? So profound, right? But we feel like we're suffering real persecution when our air conditioning goes out as Americans, right? It goes out in July or August, and it's the end of the world. You're saying, Pastor, don't throw me under the bus with you. If that's what you do, fine. But I don't do that. See, you're boasting right there. So can sometimes, listen, as Americans, we've had things so good, and we have so many creature comforts that it really does have a tendency to make us soft, doesn't it? Can you agree to that? I mean, man, I complain if I, you know, I mean, back in the day as a kid, I had to go and fix the TV. I had to fix that broken hanger that acted as a antenna for our TV. How many of you had some of those back in the day when, you know, the reception wasn't so good? And now it's like, oh, the remote's not working. I got to get up here and go get a battery. This is terrible. We're really getting pretty soft. Because we have so many things that are done for us. That's why I say, listen, parents, make your kids do some manual labor. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to get out there and sweat in the summer. But listen, folks, it's through those thorns, those trials, that He makes us. He conforms us to the image of Christ. Jacob's hip had to be pulled out of joint to get his attention, to get him to begin to seek the Lord like he'd never had before. Joseph had his trials, and Joseph was a godly man. He had to suffer some great rejection and then some imprisonments, and in order eventually to reign, he went through some tremendous trials. But it brought him through that, and his walk with the Lord was greatly enhanced because of all that. David's experience at the hands of Saul, Psalm 31 is a great passage, but there's so many passages that you can read in regard to that. But let us by faith rejoice in our infirmities. That's what he was referring to just a little earlier. It's not an easy thing to do. I don't like it when I'm sick. I don't like it when there's problems in my life. But if the Lord says that we're to learn how to rejoice in those things, it's because we're learning how to walk by faith and not by sight. We're learning how to be able to get a little bit of a long look, like, Lord, you can do some great things through this. This is not pleasant. This is not pleasing, but I'm going to thank you for what I'm dealing with right now. Thank the Lord for some of the stresses that come into your life. Thank the Lord for some of the insecurities that maybe you grew up with. I grew up with a whole bunch of insecurities, and you know what? They still kind of haunt me in my adult years. You get some of that as well? You guys are awfully quiet. But you know what? It's true. Some of those things, some of those besetting sins, some of those things, they come back to haunt us. I'm not saying praise the Lord for our sins, but just for all of those things that happen in our life that weaken us, because in our weakness, God will show His strength. God will be able to more greatly glorify Himself through what we face. And so, I'm going to go to this last point here. I'll read verses 9 and 10. Verses 9 and 10 here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 says, "And he said unto me," after Paul had prayed that the Lord would take this thorn from him, that it might depart from me, he says at the end of verse 8. And then it says this, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee," Paul. Paul's not there, but he's speaking to Paul. "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore," Paul says this, "most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities." There's this thorn. I know what it is. Maybe it's I don't have very good eyesight, and the Lord's not going to heal me. Paul was able to heal a whole lot of people with the power that God gave to him. He wasn't able to heal himself. And God said, "No, Paul, I'm going to leave this thorn, and you'll learn to trust me more." And he says that most gladly, he says, "Therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities." Boy, that sounds like a masochist, somebody that loves pain. Well, that's not what Paul was, but he says, I'm taking pleasure in these things that are happening in my life because Christ will be more greatly glorified if I yield to the Lord and just accept it and be thankful for it. So he says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. So this third point we'll finish up here is in your weakness, you'll have strength. In your weakness, in my weakness, we'll have strength. It will be God's strength and power working through you and I. Psalm 62 and verse 11 says, power belongeth unto God. Power belongeth unto the Lord. Now, nobody wants to be weak. No, nobody wants. Everybody wants to, you know, we use words like robust and vigorous and strong. We want that to be said about us. We want that to be descriptive of us. But, you know, fit as a fiddle. But you know what? Sometimes that's not the way it's supposed to play out. The problem is that our strength many times gets in the way. It gets in the way of God. So understand that this whole idea or thought doesn't mean that God always breaks down our health, because God is all wise. And so you may have great health, but if you want to serve the Lord, He will allow something to some nature, to some degree. Maybe it'll just be outside stressors and things that just kind of can drive you crazy. You have anything that will drive you crazy? Right. Crazy? Yeah. Any people that will drive you crazy? I won't get any more personal than that, right? Listen, we all have that. And sometimes there are things that are allowed in our life that we just can't handle. You know, you just kind of want to go crazy. There are things about our psyche. There are things about, as I mentioned earlier, some of the insecurities that we've had. We're always kind of a little suspicious, or we wonder, oh, that person's really quiet. Is there a problem? And, you know, sometimes we have little ghosts, and we're haunted by ghosts just because of our past. I'm not saying that, you know, I mean, obviously the Lord's going to deliver all of that from us one day when we're in heaven. But sometimes some of those things the Lord just allows so that it'll keep us humble and it'll keep us our eyes on the Lord and say, Lord, there they are again. There's those old memories. Lord, help me. If you want, I know you can take those memories away, or whatever this insecurity is, or whatever these things I have to deal with out in the work world. If it's useful for you to be glorified more in me, and if it causes me to get on my knees more, and to just call out unto you so that Christ can work through me more greatly, then I welcome it. That's high ground, folks. And maybe you're not there, but maybe that's good for, you know, listen, I'm not about to say, oh, yeah, I'm there. Man, I don't want to have to struggle with any pain. I get a sliver in my finger, and my wife wants to take it out. No, I'll take care of it. You know, I mean, I'm just a wimp. My wife is like 10 times more of a trooper than I am. So I'm wimpy in that way, but God knows how to bring some things in my life. And if I were to open up, and I don't need to, but I know that the God has brought things in my life that keep me at a place where I just need to depend on Him. And it's not always pleasant. I just say, Lord, I see what you're doing. And if what you do in my life helps others, then I welcome it. But it's not pleasing, but I want to just be thankful for it. I'm not saying I've scaled that barrier, but I'm saying that's what faces me. And there may be some things that face you. And maybe it's today that you'll be aware of, oh, maybe that's why that's happening. I've been fighting this all the time. I've been fighting that this thorn will be gone. This thorn will be gone. I keep praying. And the Lord's trying to say, listen, quiet, quiet. I'm leaving the thorn for a reason. And if you'll trust me, I can use you to a great degree. And I think if every one of us were to, if I had asked you the question, do we all want to see Christ glorified more greatly in our lives? I believe every one of you would say, yeah, I really do. But it may be at a little bit of a cost, right? Yeah. And that's where the challenge is. But that's what Paul faced. And so are we willing for him to do that? Do we want to have power in our prayer? You know, do you want to have power in your prayer life? Do you want God to really use your witnessing efforts? I think he blesses many witnessing efforts just because his word is his word. But I think he uses it to an even greater degree when the vessel is filled with his Spirit. And when the vessel is submitted to the Lord, I think he blesses that vessel more and uses him to a greater degree. It is certainly his word, and we don't enhance his word, but if we're living for the Lord, he'll bless you and I if we just simply yield to him. But so often, you know, we really don't want that. We say we do, but many times we don't. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but I know at times I'm talking about myself too. A man saw a little girl next door burying something in the garden. "What are you burying?" he said. "Oh, just a few pennies." "Oh, are you trying to grow a money tree?" "Yes, I am," she said. "Do you really think you'll grow one?" "No, silly, but it's fun to pretend." Sometimes we're just pretending. We just say things, and we don't really mean it. So I think it's good for us to just allow God to check our hearts. That's how we are quite often. We don't really expect anything. Many of us just go through the motions, and we're not really looking forward to God. We're not really looking to see God work in our lives. And it's good for us just to get before the Lord and say, "Lord, will you check my heart? Because I think I've been guilty of this. But I want to see you work. I want to see you work in my family. I want to see you work in the church. I want to see you work with those coworkers that I've been praying for. And maybe it's something that I just need to yield and allow you to work through me so that they can see Christ more evidently in my life." Because sometimes we just like to go through the motions. I remember when I played tennis all through the years, and I was in high school playing tennis. We'd go down to the high school to go play after school was out in the evenings. And there was a guy named Gilbert, and he was probably in his 30s. That guy back then seemed really old. Now he's really young when I think about it, right? But back then, and I remember we would always see Gilbert over there. Yeah, he'd be playing somebody sometime, but a lot of times he was just out on a court just by himself, just doing that. Just imaginary strokes, and we were just kind of like, "Who's Gilbert playing with now?" You know? And just all those, sometimes I think we do that in our Christian life. We just go through the motions, and there's really nothing behind it. Again, that's something for the Lord to speak to us about. He's like, "No, you're not even really engaging. You like to talk a good talk, but there's nothing behind that." So, Christian, as we wind this up, so will you and I, will we just allow God to take us through the process? He's going to take us through the process as we yield to him, as we just simply submit. Will we let him make us weak in order for him to make us strong in Christ? Will we let him have his way with us? And I know that sounds like, oh, that sounds so fearful. But remember how the Lord says that we're to give up our lives? You know, when we give up our lives, God will bless it. And he'll use us in a great way. Will we just look to Christ to make us vulnerable so we can then trust him more fully? This is what really we all need individually. This is what the church needs. And that is that, Lord, whatever it is that you want to do. Remember what he said about the church in Philadelphia? He said something along the lines of, because that was the church that was just commended. And God blessed the Philadelphia church. But one of the things he said about them, he says, "Thou hast little strength." And you think, well, that doesn't sound like a comment. No, it's a good thing, because in your own strength, there's just very little. That means I can come in my strength and use you. So does he look at us and say, "Thou hast little strength," because we've just simply submitted and said, "Lord, whatever you got to do in my life, I know there'll be some trials, but this is what you get in exchange. You get this wonderful relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You will have this intimate relationship with the Lord as you go through things. And he'll take us to a place where we'll go, you know what, Lord, I'm glad. I'm glad for this. I think of, Brother Clark up in Sandpoint and Shepherd's Grace Baptist Church. I can't remember. Is that what it is, Shepherd's Grace? He told me, because he's blind now, and I think he can barely see a little bit of light. He told me, "Brother Garcia," and I know he meant this, he said, "God took away my sight that I would finally serve him as a pastor." And he says, "You know what? I'm glad he did." I could tell he wasn't faking when he said that. He was glad. He said, "When I had my sight, I was doing my own thing. But God took my sight away so that he got me into a place where I could serve him." And you know what? Doesn't mean God's going to take your sight. Doesn't mean God may even take your health. But he'll do whatever he needs to in your life to somewhat bring you to a place of, I sense this weakness, Lord, and I want you to use it, and I welcome it. Well, that's, again, high ground, but maybe that's where God's brought you and myself to, so that Christ can be glorified. I hope that he would say about Cornerstone Baptist Church, thou hast little strength. Yeah, you recognize the fact that there's just, no, whatever it is, you've got to bring into our life so that Christ can be glorified. Amen? Now, maybe you're here today without Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're here visiting, or maybe you've even been here a long time, and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, then I would persuade you, like the Apostle Paul said, I want to persuade you to trust Christ as your Savior. There's just nothing better than knowing Christ as your Savior, to know that he's forgiven you of your sins. He died on a cross for you and was buried and rose again. And the Bible says that we're sinners that need a Savior. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he came to save you if you're here today without Christ. And so I would just persuade you to step out in the aisle when we have this invitation and come up front. We'll show you from the Bible how you can be saved and know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. With that, let's bow our heads. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer in just a little bit. We're going to sing an invitation hymn. And, Vicky, as soon as you get to the piano, you can begin to play. But I want us to just be in a spirit and an attitude of prayer as our heads are bowed. And we think about, Lord, what I hope we're speaking to the Lord right now. Lord, show me. Are there some things you want me to receive from this? Are there some things that I'm trying to run away from? Am I trying to get away from whatever particular thorn you might want to bring in my life that will maybe get me to the place where I could be more useful for you? Whatever it might be, you're the all-wise God, and you know all things. You know, if I had my choice, I would choose this or this or this, but you know how we are. We would choose something that we would kind of be glad to sacrifice. But God knows what to do in your life and in my life. And maybe he's pointed something out to you. Maybe it's just, Lord, I want you to have that. I want you to just, whatever it might be, I want you to just do in my life whatever it is that you choose to. Now, maybe you're here without Christ, and then again, I would just encourage you and exhort you to trust Christ as your Savior. Father, we thank you today. Thank you for your word. We thank you for the things that you allowed in Paul's life, and thank you that it was recorded, that we can read it out of your word. And we see the back and forth here, and we see the emotional turmoil that was there with the Apostle Paul and with these converts in the church at Corinth. And then we see how you worked in Paul's life and allowed this thorn. And Paul rejoiced in that, and you used him to such a great degree. And Lord, many times we kick and scream, and I know I've been guilty of that. But Lord, I pray that you just would work in our hearts, and may we yield our will to you and allow you to do in our hearts whatever you want to do, so that Christ can be glorified. Would you help us with that? And Lord, again, if there's somebody here who needs to be saved, I pray you'll work in their hearts and bring them to Christ. And we thank you and praise you in his wonderful name. Amen. We'll take a hymn book now, and we'll sing. And if God's spoken to you, I hope you'll respond to the Lord today.